are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, spirit, really anything having to do with our wonderful collective co-creative existence here on Earth. And today we've got an amazingly wonderful show. We're going to be speaking about love and beauty and art and just, that's exactly how I feel about it. So our guest today is Rafaela Veso, and she is the creator of Heartful Art. And if you've been to Sausalito or really anywhere through the Bay Area and in some beautiful places, you've probably come across Heartful Art somewhere, because I know that I've seen it everywhere. I'm here in the studio today with my co-host, Julie Matthews.
I'm Julie Matthews, certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living.
And on the line, joining us by telephone today, is one of our other Reality Sandwich co-hosts, Camila Aguilar. Let's just make sure we've got Camila with us. Are you there, Camila?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit more one more time.
Okay. This is Camila, and I am a practicing astrologer and writer in San Francisco, and also a big advocate of developing community through a permaculture mind. It's my pleasure to introduce Rafaela Veso.
Great. Thank you, Camila. And could you give us a little bit of, just introduce for our listeners this wonderful lady that we happen to be very fortunate to have here in the studio with us?
Well, I met Rafaela not so long ago as a result of some healing affiliates, a person who I met who just had so many glowing words to say about Rafaela. I just thought, well, I've got to find out who this person is. What really struck my curiosity was the personal story she has about having decided, after raising a family and having had a basic secretarial position, to just strike out and go into the art world. Rafaela is a painter, and she just felt empowered enough within her own self to develop a business, and has been successfully running the Heartful Art Gallery in Sausalito now for the last, has it been 6 years, Rafaela?
Yes, 6 years.
Yeah. Okay. So the first question I'd love to ask you, to let our listeners know, typically what a lot of people get when it comes to, choosing a profession, if you're going to strike out and go into some entrepreneurship, such as you have, the whole idea of going into art just seems, it's usually, honey, well, you go to school and do something practical. And I would love for you to just tell us, what was it that gave you a sense that art would be why art? And it's a good thing. I'm really glad. And this is an important story to get out there.
Oh, thank you. And I'm honored to be here. And actually, it wasn't art that I started to want to express. It was being the best person I could be. All of my life, I was driven to be the best I could be. And I had gifts in many areas, in art and writing and making people happy. So when I was in kindergarten, I had an art, my kindergarten teacher told me that I was an artist. So underneath it all, I had that belief that I did have that gift. But being from practical parents who thought I needed to have a degree, I went into dental hygiene, which wasn't my passion, but I did that for 10 years. And later, after 40, I met an artist at an art fair who was just making so much money, and people were so excited, and I thought, wow, maybe the starving artist thing is a myth, and you can make a living as an artist. So I asked her if I could hang out with her that summer and just learn by osmosis what was different about her. And by the end of that summer, I started my company, and that was about, it was 1991.
Wow. That's amazing. I love stories like that where someone's starts a whole new career that's completely different from anything that they had been doing before.
And so driven just by your innate passion.
Yes, and my passion is really, because it's a bigger picture of being the best I can be, that is what permeates through. And my last name means vessel, and I've devoted my life to being a vessel for the light to work through me for the highest good for most of my, well, for the last 30 years. But it was after I started my company, it was 7 years later that I quit my day job. I was a secretary in L.A. 9 years ago. And after taking the Landmark Education's curriculum for living, I cashed in my IRA and I moved to Oregon. I set up my card table on an art fair on the Lithia Park, and I started selling my art. And then 3 years later, I got discovered by a few different people, and they felt that I should come to the Bay Area, so I did.
Wow.
I'd love you to tell us just a little bit more about that initial experience of taking that leap, right? You mentioned, you know, tapping into the IRA, right? Really putting full faith in yourself.
Yes.
That, you know, that this is a significant thing happening in your life here that you're going to make happen, which implies the notion of risk.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So how do you really tap into and go with that vision and make it happen and stick to it?
Well, it is. I had been taking the curriculum for living, which I really credit with a lot of this take action, intention, understanding. It's like put your life on the line and do it. If you say you want to do something, go do it. And it was in the final class, SELP, which where I really felt that, what did I want to do? What if I could do it with art? And so I just made my little project opening up a store, and I thought I could do it in Oregon because the Shakespeare Festival was 9-month tourist trade instead of the normal 3-month summer. So I moved to this little town that I didn't know one, well, I knew a couple people, but it was yes, it was scary. I feel like that once I made the decision, it all happened within 6 weeks. I just made the decision, cashed in my IRA, and moved. And I thought I had enough in my IRA just to make it for 6 months. So I had been making about $500 a month with my greeting card business, and I needed to make $2,000 a month to make it. So I needed to quadruple my business in 6 months.
Wow.
After 5 months, I tripled my business.
Wow.
But then I ran out of money, and I got so scared. So I went into what I call the dark night of the soul, where I thought, oh, what have I done? I've lost left my friends in L.A., and I'm here in this little town in the mountains where I hardly know anyone, and I'm just people, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I thought about getting a day job, but minimum wage up there, and I just dug in, and within about 6 weeks to 8 weeks, I was back on track and determined to make it, and I did.
Wow. So just out of curiosity, what's that little town you were in?
Ashland, Oregon.
Ah.
Beautiful.
We figured.
Beautiful.
We just visited there a couple weeks ago, and when you said that, I figured it had to be.
I would love to unpack that part of the story a little more, because I think this is one of the key pivotal points that keeps a lot of people from even considering going into business for themselves. That whole idea that once you take the leap, then what if it doesn't work? You know, that sort of thing. I think that is such a pervasive thing in our society. We have the corporate mentality that says, come join the big fat corporation and we'll take care of you. And I think since the 80s, we've all known that this is a myth. And if not that, then what? How do we become self-expressed, go into business for ourselves, and ride out that part of change that never goes away, no matter what you do? Even if you join a corporate job, There is that dark night of the soul that happens.
Mm-hmm.
sitting in traffic at 5 o'clock in the morning and knowing it'll be a few hours before you get there. I personally would rather go feet first and land up in Oregon or San Francisco or wherever. But how do you navigate through that part? How did you when you said dig in? How did that work for you?
Well, I started my life of, in 1975, I had a spiritual awakening, which to me made me want to embrace life, that every single day was important, and every day, if it were my last, am I happy with where I am? So I started cleaning up my act, you know, like don't give my word to something unless I really mean it, because I'm going to need to do it. And if I died tomorrow and I hadn't done it yet, then, oh, my God, what would happen? So anyway, I spent 25 years doing that. By the time I got to this place in where I made the decision to quit my job and leave L.A. for my dreams to be an artist and just see if I could do it, I did experience a lot of fear. I woke up nightmares and I felt like what I was going through was all the reasons that I hadn't done it before. All the security was ripped away from me. And yet, security is an illusion anyway, so we just, if you dare to take the risk, then that's where the payoff is as well. So navigating through it, I thought at first when I got there, I rented this little white house on the side of a mountain in Ashland. It was like, I couldn't believe it. And I thought, is this all how easy it is to just say, this is what I'm going to do, and then do it, and then you're done, and it's so easy? And that was my experience for the first 4 months, and I was like making sales like crazy. I'm with my secretarial and office management background, I knew how to run a business, so it wasn't like the usual stereotype of the poet, artist, vagabond, although I have that side too. But so I learned at the very beginning that the guy next to me was making $400 a day, and I was making $40. And I thought, okay, what are my price points? $1.50, $3, and his were $40 and $60. So it's like being a student of life always, figuring out, well, am I in the shade or the rain or the, you know, is it a hot day or do I talk too much? Do I comment on other people or do I pay attention to what I'm about, and staying in the present moment, living in the now, is really very, very pertinent to getting through it. Still, when I got to what I call the dark night of the soul, I had never experienced, I've been a Pollyanna most of my life, so I'd never experienced that kind of dip. I was technically in menopause, so there are hormonal reasons for that, but I think it was more it just conjuncted at that point. And breathe in, breathe out, I called my friends constantly, my family, even though they were all in L.A., and I had people I knew in Ashland. I tried, although those people mostly had just met me, so they didn't know the strong Rafaela. They knew this person who was going through the dark night of the soul, so I really needed to draw my own strength inside.
Community, a sense of support, so that you don't forget who your resources are.
Right. I went to the newspaper and looked in the listing of the churches, looked for the church that had the most activities, and went. And I just, so I could be around people. And they were like my hammock. They didn't even know what was going on in my life, but they were my hammock, and I got back on track.
Right, just keeping active and
keeping
yourself very present and awake,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that it's just music that's pretty hard, and you're going to bounce through it, and that music will change if you just show up.
Yeah, like Churchill's famous quote, if you're going through hell, keep going.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me actually to the thought I was just having, which is this notion between being in the moment, right, living every single day as if it may be your last, and also, however, having a very clear understanding of your purpose and your vision and where it is you're going, so that you've got something really compelling that absolutely draws you into that next day and the next thing constantly, regardless of what obstacles come, because obstacles aren't, you know, they're nothing if you know where you're going. So I'd love you to talk a little bit more about how that vision and that pull
Okay.
Elicited for you and drove you.
Okay. Well, my company mission statement is assisting people everywhere to empower themselves and others. And it is all about my living my life that way so that I can assist people to be clean up my act and be the best I can be so that I'm there, so that I'm still alive to help other people. I am a 15-year breast cancer survivor, by the way.
Wow. Mm.
So, and I started my whole company and everything after that. So, it can be done, and we are, I am a living example of that.
Mm.
Wow.
Yes.
So, but the, I think, I need to be refreshed on the topic of the question.
No, we were just connecting into kind of the larger vision and how it is that really just grabs you and pulls you and also that you're able to accept that really strong level of personal worthiness also, that's, you know, this is where I'm going.
Yes. Well, I take life seriously. I don't take it for granted. I feel that we each have a part to play in this huge cosmic dance that we're doing together. And I've just accepted in 1975 consciously my job to do whatever I could to make a difference in the world. And whether that is me showing up on time, paying my bills, creating some new painting, laziness is not a part of my vocabulary. And because the driving of the vision is just in my spiritual commitment to not waste time and to not take for granted this beautiful gift of life that I've been given. And so I've written a lot of poems that can assist families in communicating the love that's in their hearts to the people they love. I have a wedding song that was read at Jimmy Carter's grandson's wedding. In my graduation poem, A Life Wish, was read at the University of Indiana for the School of Nursing convention, Honor Society convention. And so it's as simple as giving people a little Churchill magnet or me writing a book on families so they can work on their communication.
Mm.
Providing the space for empowerment for little kids, little girls and boys. My empowerment posters are in a lot of classrooms.
Is the world love challenged?
Love challenged. I think the world is really waking up. I'm an old hippie, you know, so I came from the love generation where we felt the new age was going to be upon us in 1980. I thought 1975, I was sure it was going to happen any day and it was going to be magic. And gradually, I thought, oh, maybe it's just going to be an inner thing that each one of us who sees the light will live that consciousness. But I've seen it in the last 5-10 years really accelerate, and we're in the mainstream now. We are hearing affirmations and wonderful, wonderful things. And I really think, as far as being love challenged, I think love breeds love, and the example, like when people talk about the war or other things, I think I always bring it back to myself. What if my neighbor were attacking me, or what if the person on the street that I talked to was spewing negativity at me? How would I handle it? And then I take it back out to the bigger picture, and I need to live my life where I am being the change I want to see in the world, like Gandhi purports.
Yeah, exactly.
So for people that are listening that can't see your art or haven't seen it yet, how would you describe it for people?
Happy art. People constantly say happy art, even the ones that don't have words. I have a large variety of things, from little postcards to thousands of magnets and little 5x7 to 11x14 posters. And then I start with my acrylic originals, 4x4s up to 4 feet by 4 feet, and my actual detailed watercolor paintings are archived at the National Museum of Women and the Arts in Washington, D.C., and also at the American Folk Art Museum in New York City.
Wow.
And so I have a big range. Some of my paintings take 3 years to complete, and those are the little watercolors that are layers and layers and layers of dots.
Wow.
My website is heartfulart.com.
And the gallery is in Sausalito.
Sausalito on Princess Street, the little street where Starbucks is.
Right, which is
I'm
right.
I'm in a little white house at the end of the block.
Mm-hmm. Right when you're walking
That's
down.
Could you right down tell us a little bit more about your process as a painter? I think we've been focusing a lot on the business, and I really would love to see the process that you experience, what painting does for you, and how you've gotten your... am I still on the air?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's so quiet. I guess what I'm trying to ask for is... I've been to your gallery. I've seen the just effusive of color and varying sizes, everything from the tiny little magnets to these large paintings. And I think about the things you say, like having your work across the nation affecting people in varying ways, either by word or having things have gone as far as D.C. and to the museum there. That's a lot of intention. That's a lot of creation through intention. I know we talked about this before, and I would love to hear you talk a little bit more about how you translate your intention and also get affected by it through your painting. If you could help the listeners just have a sense of what it's like to be a painter, that might be a takeaway.
Okay. Well, I am self-taught. I have not taken any art classes. And I wanted, when I started painting in 81, to focus only on my heart and not my mind. I wanted it to be an expression of my heart's love, my love of nature, my love of people, my love of color. Color just dazzles me, and flowers are just, I just think they're the most beautiful things in the world. So I just walk down the street sometimes and I feel like I'm drinking in the beauty of this planet. And so my job as a painter is to stay in my heart, breathe in and breathe out. It's like when I paint, I'm in a meditation and I just am a vessel for that light to work through me. And it uplifts me as it goes through. I'm just centered there. I have a long history of meditation. I've been on my spiritual path since 1975. And it just is always this rolling like the ocean behind me in my heart. So when I work, I just am that way. I'm there. So the life as an artist, that's my life as a painter. And meeting people is the reason the gallery is such a thrill, and I encourage all artists to just find a spot and open the door, because I wasn't ready when this happened. It just appeared, and I didn't have enough to fill a gallery. I just opened the doors, and I knew within a few weeks that it was the right thing to do. And now my gallery's filled with color and wonderful things. A lot of artists ask me, well, how do you get a body of work to do this? And I just tell them, open the doors and the people will come.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help, Camilla?
Yeah, well, it helps. And I guess I just want to reiterate again that there is some personal expression that goes beyond, oh, here we just have a lot of art that's for sale. I think I'm an artist, and I've gone to lots of openings and to loads of galleries.
It's
what I do. And I know people relate at different levels. Having been an animator, for instance, myself, I know that when people have seen my moving art, you know, all whatever, 3 minutes of it, they have no idea what went into it on some level, just that 3 minutes could represent years of work. And you talk about having sometimes a process that goes on for years on a single painting.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in that process, I know we all have a lot of time to kind of expand our how we conceive of ourselves, and also what we want to give out to, what we hope to communicate to the people who will hopefully connect with the work. And what I could say is my experience of your work is that there is this joy and celebration of color and a love of the beauty of the natural world, flowers and so on. And I also know you told me about people who have been so inspired and so touched just by looking at the work and probably talking with you that it's unlocked something in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how you experience that connection, that something unlocks inside yourself and in your painting is that unlocks that magic spell, as I might put it that way, that translates to another, and another person writes back to you and says, I've thought about doing something, and I went to your gallery, saw your work, and now I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's,
well, I think the underlying intention for in that permeates my entire body of work is the belief that we are one. We are one, all of us. The cultural differences, the spiritual differences, the religion, color, race, all those things, we are one. And I stand for the global heart, the heart that we all are. And that is the thing that I speak to people in all of my empowerment and all the paintings are this beauty that you see. And if you see beauty in my work, it is your beauty that's being reflected back to you. And yes, I've had people burst into tears when they see a painting, and I've had thank you notes. One woman from I don't remember what state she's from, but she had been in nursing all her life, and her and she had always wanted to be in theater but didn't think she could afford to go. And so she had come to my gallery, heard my story, and went home and talked to her husband. And after, I don't know, 30 years of being a nurse, she enrolled in theater to get her master's in theater, and now she's doing her thing.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
That's amazing.
That's exciting, and it happens a lot. When other artists come and they say, I want to do this, I bring them to behind my register and have them hold my paintbrushes, and we take a photograph of them in the gallery so they can put it in their workshop and see themselves and start visualizing what that feels like and feel. Mm. And, you know, just start seeing that as a reality for them.
Right. You're listening to KPOO San Francisco, Reality Sandwich, and today we're here sitting and chatting with Rafaela Vasu of the Heartful Art Gallery in Sausalito. And that last notion was just absolutely beautiful, and planting a seed for somebody else who they get to see you and experience, they walk into the gallery or just mm-hmm. run into you in anywhere, and something triggers in them that is an innate connection. There's something going on, and for so many of us that are fortunate enough to, you know, to really ever get to really feel our inner passion, you know, when it happens, it's like, you know, we all have had that moment. Maybe whether it's art or whether it's architecture or whether it's playing with trucks, whatever it is. But for someone to be able to actually come in and experience it and then have that validated and ignited, it's like, you know, putting some water on the seed, taking mm-hmm. somebody behind and giving them the brushes and taking a picture, that's like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, your gallery's got more going on than simply your art. You have other activities there, another facility for artists and, mm-hmm. and things going on. Tell us a little bit more about the broader
events.
Structure.
Well, like I said, my whole gallery is about empowerment. So I am awake to whenever, whether it's a little child that comes in, we have coloring tables for the children. Mm. So first we make a point of reading my boys and girls, whether it's a boy or girl, empowerment statement and cheering for them, and they just feel so proud and tall. And then we give them a paper and color, and then we ask them to sign it, and we package it so it's like their creation that they leave with. And then once a month since I started, we've got empowerment events mid-month. There's one coming up on June 17th. It's a combination of community, entertainment, and information. So the potluck at 6 o'clock on June 17th, it starts it off for an hour of just being together. And it's strangers, sometimes people from other countries who just walk by my gallery that day. It's a small, intimate crowd. But 6 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock on the 17th, a poet from Los Angeles whose most famous poem is The Women Behind Me. Her name is Anjali. She's going to be there reading her published poems.
Mm.
She graduated with her master's as a post 60, I can't remember her exact age, but anyway, she just got her master's in Los Angeles in poetry at Cal State Northridge. And then the speaker that evening is Letta Sanford, whose book is Look for the Moon in the Morning. She was a magazine editor and is going to speak on reinventing yourself at any age.
Mm.
So this will be a very exciting. But we've had people from hip hop to massage and didgeridoo and workshops from life coaches, and I'd love to have you, Julie, speak on your work in nutrition.
Thank you. I would love to.
And you also, Martin, it would just be wonderful. So there are empowerment events. They're at the gallery June 17th, starting at 6 to 8:30.
Well, it's wonderful to see you take, you know, your offering as an artist and expand it out to others and plant seeds for others, not just other artists, but really anyone in this broader notion of personal empowerment. I don't know that I often hear that alongside art.
Yes.
Because personal
art is my vessel. It's the tool. Words. It's the gallery is my vessel for the work that I do by believing really truly in my heart that we are one and we are beautiful.
Well, it certainly comes across in your art.
Thank you.
Mm. Now, what you were touching a little bit before about some of the other stories from people that have been through the gallery that have been, you know, had their lives changed or sparked or something in some kind of a way. Are there any more sort of incidences of just like seeds that left the gallery and went somewhere else? And
oh, they're so cute. I did bring a bunch of thank you notes, and I get letters all the time. But the Thoreau Society wrote me. They found my work and felt that it was a beautiful expression for Thoreau's words. So I have my work at Walden Pond.
Hmm.
And I have quite a few churches who ask me to incorporate the words of their spiritual leaders in my work. And it's just the everyday person. I mean, it happens so frequently in the gallery where people will just want to be seeing my, just to feel what it's like so that they can go do their dream. And I do get general thank you notes from a lot of people who have been inspired not just by my art but by the fact that I am a working artist.
Hmm.
And a teacher's, I have my kindergarten picture in my gallery, so anytime I know somebody's a teacher, because they always see the classroom picture, and I tell them that it's there so that I can thank them for the work they do, because you never know when something you say will make an effect on somebody's life.
Hmm. Definitely. And it's on your website as well, correct? The photo?
Yes, it is.
It's
under
very,
my bio.
It's
so
very
cute.
And her artwork is in the back of the photo, standing behind
the
everybody.
Whole mural. Yeah. I've had kids, high school kids, are interview me for their school newspaper. And then one young girl managed to get a mural of one of my poems across their whole library wall in their school.
Wow.
And that's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just being a witness for living your dream. You can do it. I'm like a big cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to teach people and do classes and have five students or things like that. I consider my audience to be the world. And being in Sausalito, we have international visitors every day, so I could have people from Iowa or Singapore and Africa and New York and all over, and Sausalito and here. But to embrace them, I've learned, since I opened my doors, I've asked, when I hear another language, I've asked, how do you say thank you in your language? So I've learned about 30 languages. I have hundreds in my gallery, so when they come in and I practice, their hearts open and they're just so happy to hear that somebody would care enough to learn even one word in their language. Little
Isn't
things
that
like that.
Amazing how that happens. I was just in Japan, and just seeing how people light up yes. by saying konnichiwa, you know, knowing you don't speak anything else, but to yeah. be able to say, good afternoon, how are you, thank you.
Yes.
It's amazing how that little gesture.
It's a gift.
Is all it takes.
Yes,
to find
honors.
The humanity in another person. That's great. Have you ever thought of incorporating those words that you've learned into a painting?
Well, I have them in on magnets. I have, and I've just my customers become my translators, and I just got some Hebrew words and some other languages, Japanese. I have one of my customers, his grandfather's visiting, and he's going to bring. She's going to bring him in to translate a few more words. So I do so far have Chinese and Sanskrit and Hindu and French and Spanish in my magnet collection. But it's going to become more. I mean, I create new magnets every week. I love them. They're my little children.
And I love how when we read these quotes, regardless of the original language.
Yes.
Right? They're all just absolutely beautiful, and it so reminds us of this interconnectivity, how we are all the same. We are all humans. It doesn't matter what cultural or color we ended up evolving into or what language our capability ended up articulating because of where we happen to be geographically on the planet. These beautiful notions are innate, and the more that we can share them with one another, and especially when they come from different origins, I think just seeing that and exposing ourselves to that is all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit to artists, or
okay,
artists that are out there listening, and some of whom may be dealing with artists' poverty consciousness, as
okay.
you mentioned earlier, and maybe have shortness of breath over their own
yes.
concern to be able to to make it. Let's throw some more inspiration at them as
okay.
far as just really tapping into that passion and sticking to it.
Great.
I'm going to start with you.
That's great.
All throughout the show, you've been giving those people some
yes.
words of wisdom and some guidance. But if you were to drill it down into just some daily practices or things to do in the morning, I mean, how do we stay on track, both, as we were saying earlier, both being in the moment and living day to day and really being true to ourselves and our bigger vision of where it
mm-hmm.
is that we're going? And that may somewhat reflect to this notion of process versus task. I also
right.
mentioned in your website
yeah.
around that.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to be in the process rather than thinking of the goal, which people say, how you must have patience to complete a painting in 3 years. And I say, well, it's really just a meditation, so I'm not even aware of the time going by. I'm just in the process.
Mm.
But the focus in a bigger thing is that I'm still in process. I am still learning every day how to do it better, how to keep myself motivated. I'm constantly, I got myself a little iPod and I listen to empowerment tapes to and from work, and I meditate and take in as much of the technique of positive thinking and going for your dreams and intention as I can. So I'm still a student. I believe we're all students on the level below us and workers on the level we are, and students on the level above us, teachers on the level below, and workers on the level we are. And that I was my first spiritual teacher, John Roger, who had originally told me that, and it's been very true. So I always see the people behind me and try to pull them up and make sure that I remove the stones in the path so that the next person, even literally on the sidewalk, if I passed something yesterday, there was a big stone and I imagined, I went by it first and I went back and I moved it off the road because I imagined somebody tripping over it, and that would be my responsibility that I didn't take that action to do that.
Mm.
But speaking of the artists, and I want to say that I did not have a big cash flow. I used my IRA when I left. I had $60 when I opened my doors.
Mm.
So it isn't like I'm lucky and I have all this money and I inherited all this stuff. I had intention and belief and desire. And I had I had the things. I could paint. So, but I don't think it takes, I mean, just so if anybody's out there thinking, oh, well, she's lucky or she's, you know, she must really be lucky if she got this, or she probably had a husband to pay for this or parents who gave her this or whatever. It's really self-determination. And, I mean, not to say that I didn't have the support of the universe or spirit, or I did walk on that street the day that I found that gallery and made her look at my art, and she didn't want to, so.
Wow.
and then she couldn't find anybody to staff the gallery, so I said, don't close, I'll work for free on weekends, just let me have my art in Sausalito. And so that's how it all began.
Wow.
And I just knew that being with people was my thing. So, is there a, for artists, I just want to say, follow your heart. I always tell people to not make rules about what's art and what's not. I think one of the reasons I'm successful is because I have a huge range of price points where some days all we sell are magnets, and some days then we have this big $1,000 painting. But if I had to depend on that $1,000 sale every day to pay my rent, I wouldn't be able to get through the lean times, because I don't have yet still this big security blanket. And I still also believe that there is, that security is an illusion. So every day, plan for the worst, hope for the best, and just do your job.
I love hearing that, especially at times like the times we're going through now as a nation. Security is a big word. It's the learning path for Americans, and right now we're experiencing a horrible rendition of a lesson plan due to, I think, national unconsciousness. This whole idea of national security, and somewhere in the back of our mind we know the war is wrong, and yet somehow we're affecting security by bombing other people, and it's really way off of the notion that security is an illusion. What are we doing? It's wonderful to hear someone who, like yourself, who is personally responsible, who is in committed practice with meditation and self-knowledge and belief in the process of establishing intention. It's great to hear your story and have that as a counterbalance to all of these strange notions of we've got to secure security, which is a funny idea. It's like worrying about money if we believe that money is a symbol for energy, and to whittle away your energy by worrying, it's kind of backwards. And so it's good to hear you identify what kind of reality can really make the kind of existence you're making work.
And I do believe that in the that the reality is abundance for everyone. We have enough. We just need to believe that. And the more of us who can hold that vision and operate in wealth and abundance and health and healing, the more that will permeate your neighbors. And the nicer we are to each other. I mean, it's all down to that simple, simple thing. Be the change you wish to see in the world. It really is that simple.
That brings us right back to the core purpose for us being here on the air every week with Reality Sandwich and what it is that we do with Healthful Living, and really doing our best to just come here every week and speak to people and give examples of just extraordinary possibility that really exists in our world. Because we, you know, I don't want to deny that, you know, what we've created here in this world, and that, like as Camila was saying, you know, we've have all this stuff with our government, that the way for us to be secure is to fight, and I mean all these conflicting things that really I think inside don't really gel with anybody, but because of the patterns that we've developed just to survive on a daily basis, we've gotten disconnected from those things. So we spend an hour every Thursday talking about stuff that you know, really kind of speaks to the innate human in all of us, the way you can go, oh, well, that really makes sense. And our intention is to provide information and talk about things in a way where it can get right past those other standard resistances that we have, you know, when you hear subject matter and go, oh, yeah, okay, that sounds normal to me. And you can just take it in a way that you can infuse a few ideas, whether it's simply a concept, a quote, a notion, anything at all that sneaks its way into your reality that somehow affects your pattern from that day forward, right? And I mean, we can hear these things, we can read them in books, but the more and more that we get it in a way that's when our resistance is low and where it's coming from this just really open place and loving place, listeners can take it in and integrate it. And precisely that, the intent is to empower people, to give them more choices and more tools than those that we have learned, many of which, most of which have been taught to us, right, and that we're repeating, but to help us re-empower our own personal choice over really everything,
exactly.
and to remember, to recollect that we are at choice in every given moment, not just about what we do, but also to your earlier point, very strong point, about what we think and the thoughts that we're planting in any particular moment. Just a slight little tangent I want to share because it's kind of fun. Julie and I were talking yesterday because we went into our kitchen last night to cook something, and the kitchen was totally clean. And I said, you know what? How beautiful is this that the kitchen's clean? Because earlier, we prepared for this. And one can look at that experience of cleaning up as, ugh, I got to clean up after what I already did. Nobody likes to clean up because that's kind of a crummy job. But if you think in that moment, while you're technically cleaning up, we should be talking that way, but you know, what I'm doing is preparing for this next experience. And it's a whole different orientation and a whole different feeling of actually engaging in that experience, which could be work, but no, it's preparation. And the joy of it comes later. The joy of it comes later when I can walk into the house with a handful of groceries and a bunch of stuff that I'm sitting getting ready to prepare, and I can because I have the space for the work I did earlier. Same thing with respect to even making your bed in the morning. You know, you get into it at night because of what you did in the morning for 2 seconds. And these little tiny simple shifts in our thinking and how we view things play out in so many different ways in our lives that it's hugely impactful with regards to understanding the reality that life is a process. Right? Life is ongoing and constantly shaping, and since we are in process and we are constantly planting seeds and having them spring up later, we can talk about subjects on the show, we can bring people in to provide examples of how they have done that. And hopefully listeners can, in their own mind, in whatever aspect of their life it is, have a seed planted of change in some kind of a way with respect to something that's going to happen tomorrow. It was the Buddha who said that what you are now is what you have been. And what you will become is what you do now. Right now, which brings us back to that, you know, living in the moment notion.
And not taking it for granted.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to absolutely thank you for Julie. Julie's going to jump in and
I was just going to say heartfulart.com. Definitely check it out. There's amazing information and beautiful images and all of the information on how to get over to her gallery, which is in Sausalito. So I definitely want people to have an opportunity. And the great thing about the art is it's not only beautiful, but has really inspiring words. So it has that empowerment, inspirational piece to it. In addition to the beauty.
And there's an event on the 17th that anybody can come to, right?
Free.
And that's going to be at the gallery. It's an empowerment event. For artists.
Everybody.
Anybody who wants to get inspired and empowered and connect.
Come and build community at they Heartful Art. June 17th at 6.
They can read more about that at heartfulart.com.
I'd like to underscore the building community part in these last couple minutes before the show goes up. The one piece that I hate to go away without bringing out, it was your statement in a previous newspaper interview about not just seeking success for your own business, but while building your business, also having the intention of bringing success to your neighboring, the people who you are in affiliation with or your neighboring businesses, however that works. I just wanted to really congratulate you on that notion that we are not islands and we are not, we don't have to define our success by the American dream that is crumbling now that says you know, whoever gets to the top first wins.
Right.
And to think about how we're all bringing each other up together. I also really want to thank you for also mentioning that in the process of becoming self-expressed, question what art is. Always question what art is.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing, because so many people don't know that they are artists, that we're all inherently creating this reality together, each and every one of us, with our consciousness or even lack.
And every expression is valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and contributing. So you might as well enjoy what you're contributing. You might as well think about what that is. And I'm so happy to have met you and have had the opportunity to bring you on the show to spread the word that yes, not only are we creators, but we could become conscious and bring some joy and pass it along through acts of empowerment and love. It's really that love force that comes through in your work, and that I think is what powers us all along, more than anything else, more than money or survival. That's what it comes down to in the end, is human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Rafaela.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Reality Sandwich. We're on every Thursday at noon, serving up a palatable taste of the truth. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living. You can find information on Julie and myself at healthfulliving.org. You can hear this show again or any of our past shows at realitysandwichradio.com. And we're going to be back on next week talking all about the truth behind milk and dairy. Whole bunch of misperceptions out there with regards to that. So we're going to be getting back on track with some of our topics on health subjects, and then jumping back in, I think, a few weeks after that, into more about what's happening here in our local community in San Francisco, in the Bay Area.
I'm Julie Matthews, Certified Nutrition Consultant with Healthful Living. And I just wanted to again thank you, Rafaela, for being on today.
Thank you both.
Heartfulart.com. We'll be back next week. This has been KPOO. Thank you.
There's always that one person that will always have your heart. You never see it coming because you're blinded from the start.